Let the people of God say amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for our praise team. Amen. God bless you. Travis, good to see you, man. Amen. I didn't know Travis was here at UN, and Travis is one of the premier worship leaders in this nation. Good to see you, brother. Thank you for being here. And got some brownie points when I got here and saw Travis. I called my wife. I said, guess who's here? My wife loves Travis. Good to see you. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Amen. Giving obedience to God, my Father, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and Savior of my life, to my friend and brother beloved, and a guy that means so much to me. I didn't know he was a prophet, but now he is a prophet. Hey, Dr. Rhea, thank you, sir, for this tremendous privilege to be here at Union University. Dr. has been a dear friend through the years, and he did. That was a fact. When I was in Phoenix, Arizona, he tweeted that, and that when he mentioned that, it just to wildfire to the point when Dr. said that Fred Luter should be president of the Southern Baptist Convention. The following year, when there's an election for president, nobody else ran because they didn't want to have a problem with Dr. Doctory. So amen. So let's give it up for your president. Great man. Amen. What a great man. Done a great job here. With giving to the faculty, the staff, and all the students here. I'm indeed delighted and excited because I have been invited to be here with you on this morning. Thank you for your prayers for me. I'm excited about being here and looking forward to what God's going to do. A lot of things I want to say, but we're limited for time, so I'm just going to go right into the message, but asking that you continue being prayer with me and for me. Turn to Philippians chapter 2 as we share today in the Word of God. I'm honored to be back here at the Union, and I thank God for your president. Thank God for the invitation that has been extended. Philippians chapter 2. Why is it so difficult for us to pull off this thing called Christianity? Why is it so tough to practice what we preach? Why is it so difficult to live the life we sing about in our song? Why is it so tough for those of us who name the name of Christ, those of us who are believers, to consistently live this life on a daily basis, not just on Sunday, but consistently on a daily basis? I want to talk about that this morning. Philippians chapter 2, I want you to look at with me verses 5 through 8 of that chapter. Philippians 2 verses 5 through 8. If you have it, please say amen. As a matter of fact, you can say amen off the top of my sermon. I'm kind of used to it. Y'all know what I'm talking about, all right? Y'all make me feel like I'm at home, all right? I don't know what y'all do for other chapel speakers, but this speaker like to hear amen. Amen? All right, that's what I'm talking about. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this wonderful and exciting privilege to be here at Union University. Thank you for Dr. God, his leadership here, God, his vision, God. Thank you for the man of God that he is. Thank you for Travis and the praise team and how they have blessed us in song. Thank you to the faculty, for the staff, for the students, for the members here, and all the guests who are assembled here on today. Thank you for all the pastors who are assembled here on this one. Now, God, do as I ask every time I stand to preach your word, God. That is, let me decrease as you increase, Father. Hide me behind the cross. Let them not see Fred, but God, let them see Christ. So then, God, that you may be glorified, the saints of God may be edified, Satan may be horrified, and lost sinners will come to repentance. Therefore, God, stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice. And I'll be so very careful to give your name all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And for us, again, the people of God say amen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. With this text in mind, I want to preach this morning from the subject, the importance of having a renewed mind. The importance of having a renewed mind. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, there's not an hour that goes by. There's not a day that goes by. There's not a week that goes by. There's not a month that goes by in the life of a believer, in the life of a child of God, in the life of a born-again Christian, where our mind is not being tempted, where our mind is not being enticed, where our mind is not being lured by our enemy, by our adversary, by our tormentor, by Satan, by the devil, by Lucifer. Not a day goes by, not a week, not a month goes by in the life of a child of God, in the life of a believer, where our mind is not being tempted, enticed, lured by our enemy, our adversary, our tormentor, Satan. Whether it's something you watch on TV, something you're watching in the movies, or some other venue, ladies and gentlemen, our mind is attacked on a daily basis. That's why Peter admonishes us. That's why Peter warns us. That's why Peter alerts us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 when Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, seeking whom he may destroy, seeking whom he may defeat. Not an hour goes by, not a day goes by, not a week goes by, not a month goes by where our enemy, our adversary, our tormentor has not put in the mind of a born-again Christian, has not put in the mind of a child of God, has not put in the mind of a believer something we know we shouldn't do, but stuff we know we shouldn't watch, but places we know we should not go, but things we know we should not say. But I promise you, brothers, I promise you, sisters, before the 60 minutes of that hour has passed, before the 24 hours of that day has passed, before the 7 days of that week has passed, before the 4 weeks of that month has passed, somewhere, somehow, we have found ourselves seduced by the enemy. Somewhere, somehow, we find ourselves enticed by the enemy. Somewhere, somehow, we find ourselves lured by the enemy. Somewhere, somehow, we find ourselves bamboozled by the enemy. And since there's a lot of young people here today, somewhere, somehow, we find ourselves pumped by the enemy. Therefore, my brothers and my sisters, one of the things that I've discovered, one of the things that I realized, one thing that I've seen is that none of us are exempt. From the pulpit to the door, from the front to the back, Travis, none of us, ladies, none of us are exempt from the attacks of the enemy. None of us are exempt from the schemes of the enemy. None of us are exempt from the temptations of the enemy. It doesn't matter your marital status. You can be single, saved, and satisfied. You are not exempt. But you can be married and marvelous, or married and miserable. You are not exempt. You can be widowed and wonderful or widowed and weary. The fact of the matter is you are not exempt. Doesn't matter your marital status. Doesn't matter your position in the church. You can be a praying preacher, an engaging elder, a devoted deacon, a terrific trustee, a committed choir member, a magnificent musician, a useful usher, a gracious greeter. The fact of the matter is you are not exempt. You can be a marvelous member of any church. You are not exempt from the attacks of the enemy. Doesn't matter your marital status. It doesn't matter your position in the church. It doesn't even matter what age you are. You can be a cute child, a tender teenager, in your tempting 20s, your tantalizing 30s, your firm 40s, your fabulous 50s. You're going to get there one day. You're going to get there one day. Your soaring 60s, your serene 70s, your elegant 80s, or your nostalgic 90s, it doesn't matter your age. I promise you, you are not exempt. Doesn't matter your marital status. Doesn't matter your position in the church. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter your race. Doesn't matter your vacation, freshman, sophomore, or your education, freshman, sophomore, junior, or senior, graduate school. Doesn't matter what your vacation may be. The fact of the matter, ladies and gentlemen, that none of us are exempt. Doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. Doesn't matter how long you've been baptized. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, the fact of the matter is the enemy will do all that he can to attack the mind of the sons and the daughters of God. Let me say that again. The enemy will do all that he can to attack the minds of the sons and the daughters of God. But don't just take my word for it. Search the scriptures for yourself and you'll find out that it's true. Think about it. Satan got to the mind of Adam and Eve and they ate of the forbidden fruit. Satan got to the mind of Abraham and Sarah and they lied about their marital status. Satan got to the mind of Cain and he murdered his own brother Abel. Satan got to the mind of Noah and he got drunk and naked in front of his kids. Satan got to the mind of Jacob and he deceived his own daddy Isaac. Satan got to the mind of David and he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Yes, you're fine. Yes, baby had back and could back it up and shake it fast, but he still got to the mind of David. Satan got to the mind of Amnon and he raped his own sister Tamar. Satan got to the mind of Judas and he betrayed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Satan got to the mind of Peter and Peter denied that he ever knew who Jesus was. Satan got to the mind of the prodigal son and the Bible says he wasted his inheritance on wild parties and hoochie mamas. Oh, I'm sorry. Doctor, I apologize. I pastor in the hood. I can say hoochie mamas in the church where I pastor. But I'm at Union University. I'm president of the Southern Baptist Convention. I can't say hoochie mamas here. Wild parties. He wasted inheritance on wild parties and strange women. All right, just leave it like that. All right. And the list goes on and on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen. And our enemy didn't stop in the Bible. Travis, our enemy didn't stop in the scriptures.
brothers sitting right here in this chapel, right here on your pew, right here in this section, right here on this side, right in your row. It's right here in your pew. Men and women, husbands and wives, singles, teenagers and teachers, members and guests, professors and pastors and preachers whose mind has been attacked by the enemy, whose mind has been enticed by the enemy, whose mind has been seduced by the enemy, whose mind has been lured by the enemy, whose mind has been bamboozled, whose mind has been tempted by the enemy. Therefore, my brothers and my sisters, the question of the hour is, how can we, as sons and daughters of God, how can we, as men and women of God, how can we, who are believers, stand against the attacks of the enemy? How can we, as believers, win more than we lose? How can we, as sons and daughters of God, be victorious against the tempting tactics of the enemy that comes against our mind every day of our lives? How can we win more than we lose? Well, y'all ask some good questions. I see why this universe is so popular. That kind of frees me up to give you the answer. Ladies and gentlemen, the answer is you must. Brothers, we must. Ladies, we must have a renewed mind. If you're going to be able to be lights in a dark world, young people, you're going to be able to be salt in a low sodium, saltless society. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care who your mommy is or who your daddy is, who your pastor is. I don't care what your profession is. You got to have a renewed mind. Here's the subject of the sermon this morning, the importance of having a renewed mind. And that's the point that the Apostle Paul is making to the church at Philippi. He's stating that if the believers are going to win, if the believers are going to be victorious, Greg, if the believers are going to be able to stand, if the believers are going to be faithful in their walk and in their talk on a consistent basis, then we must, brothers, ladies, we must, teenagers, we must have a renewed mind. Therefore, I want to share with every believer here the importance of why it's important to have a renewed mind. There are three reasons, real quick, in the few moments that I have left, why it's important for us to have a renewed mind. First of all, a renewed mind should help you think about your Christ. A renewed mind should help you think about your Christ. Look at verses 5 and 6 of Philippians chapter 2. A renewed mind should help you think about your Christ. Look what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. A renewed mind, brothers, a renewed mind, sisters, cherry top came here to university, man. You look that's a joke. Yeah. A renewed mind should help you think about your Christ. You see, my friend, before you give into those seductions, before you give into those attacks, before you give into those temptations, a renewed mind should help you think about your Christ. In other words, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he did for me, think about it. He was born of a virgin just for you and just for me. He was lied on and talked about just for you and just me. He was betrayed and beaten just for you and for me. He was spit on and mocked just for you and for me. He was denied and demeaned just for you and for me. He was stripped and teased, pushed and shoved. He was abused and misused just for you and just for me. The Bible says he left his mighty home in glory to come down to earth to give us redemption story. Oh, my brothers and sisters, a renewed mind should help you think about your Christ and all that he did for you and all that he did for me. Think about it. He brought salvation just for you and for me. He brought redemption just for you and for me. He brought sanctification just for you and for me. He brought justification. He brought regeneration just for you and for me. He loved us. He saved us. He lived for us. He died for us. He redeemed us. And one day he's coming back again just for us. Oh, when I think about it. When I think about the goodness of Jesus, even though he was fully God, Travis, even though he was fully God, he became fully man and gave his life for you and for you, for you and for me. Oh, how can you not want to win for him? How can you not want to stand for him? How can you not want to be victorious for him? How can you not want to be faithful to him? How can you not want to live for him? That's why when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul says hallelujah, my soul says praise the Lord. But then there's another reason why it's important to have a renewed mind. Not only does a renewed mind help you think about your Christ, but secondly, a renewed mind should help you think about your choices. A renewed mind, young people, should not only help you think about your Christ, but a renewed mind should help you think about your choices. Look at verse 7 of Philippians 2. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. A renewed mind should help you think about your choices. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus did not allow his heavenly reputation to affect his earthly responsibilities. Let that soak in for a minute. Jesus did not allow his heavenly responsibilities, his heavenly position to affect his earthly responsibilities. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. Even though he was a king, he chose to become a bondservant. Even though he was fully God, he chose to become fully man. Even though he was deity, he decided to die for you and for me. Even though he was God the Son, every choice he made in life was to please God the Father. And that's why, brothers, that's why, ladies, we must have the mind of Christ. That's why Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Because even though we're born again, even though we're saved, even though we're redeemed, even though we have the freedom to make our own choices and make our own decisions, the importance of having a renewed mind is the fact that every decision you make should glorify God. Every choice you make, we must be sure that all of our choices, yes, we have freedom to do anything we want to do, go anywhere we want to go, hang out with anybody we want to hang out, do whatever we want to do, watch whatever we want to watch, but as a believer, as a child of God, as a Christian, every choice you make should please your heavenly Father. That's what Jesus did. That's how Jesus lived. Think about it. Remember when Jesus was tempted in Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and the enemy came down and saw him and said, Jesus, you know you're hungry. Man, you've been fasting 40 days. Man, you know you're hungry. He said, I tell you why don't you turn these stones into bread? And you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, if you put some butter and honey on them, you got a deal. He said, no, he said. He looked at the devil and said, Satan, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to know, if Jesus stood on the word, you got to stand on the word of God. In other words, if we need to know what God says about our choices, if we want to have the mind of Christ, we got to know what God says about our choices. God has a lot to say, ladies and gentlemen, about our choices. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, he said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and he shall direct thy path. Psalms 37 and 3 say, trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Psalms 34 and 4 say, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. It's all about choices. Psalms 37 and 5 say, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Psalms 118 and 8 say, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19 say, I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore choose life, that both you and your children's children shall live. It's all about choices. Isaiah 26 and 3, I'll keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because they trust in the Lord. Psalm 27 and 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Proverbs 14 and 12, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. One of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible, Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, choose for yourselves whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, as for me and Sister Joshua and my son and my daughter, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's all about choices. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul said, I beseech you, I beg you, I urge you. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your, there it is again, renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And lastly, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, the choices that I make in the flesh, the decisions that I now make in the flesh, I make by the life of the Son of God, who not only loved me, but he gave himself for me. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, it's all about choices. And the reason that's critical is because of this. Every choice you make, every choice we make in life leads to a consequence. Every decision, every choice you make in life leads to a consequence. And that consequence can either be a blessing or can be a burden. Think about some of the choices you've made in life. Some of the decisions you made in life. I'm not talking about 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I'm talking about decisions you made yesterday. Some of you last night. The choices you make has consequences. And those consequences need to be a blessing or can be a burden. A doctor heard the story about this, a barber who was cutting this guy's hair. And Travis, this guy was getting his hair cut, and the barber saw this little kid about to come in the barbershop. And he told the guy whose hair he was cutting, he said, "Man, watch this. See this kid coming in?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Watch it. That's the dumbest kid in the world." "So what do you mean?" He said, "Just watch this." So the kid comes into the barbershop, and the barber said, "Hey, young man, how you doing?" He said, "Hey, Mr. Barber." And the barber said, "Come here, kid, come here." And the barber puts two quarters in one hand and a dollar bill in the other hand. He said, "Okay, young man, which one you want?" And immediately the guy took the two quarters and ran out of the store, ran out of the barbershop. The barber said, "See, I told you, that's the dumbest kid in the world. This kid comes to this barbershop every week, sometimes twice a week, and every time he comes, I put two quarters in one hand and a dollar bill in the other hand, and every time without fail, he always takes the two quarters. That is the dumbest kid I've ever seen in my life." So the guy gets his hair cut, and after he gets his hair, he notices a little kid coming from across the street licking on an ice cream cone. And he called again and said, "Kid, come here." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I saw you in the barbershop just recently." "I remember I saw you in there." And the barber tell me that you come into the barbershop almost once, sometimes twice a week. I said, "Yes, sir, that's true," licking on his ice cream cone. And he said, "Yeah, man," the barber said, "every time you come there, he puts two quarters in one hand and a dollar bill in the other hand." I said, "Yes, sir, that's true." "And what, tell me, young man?" He said, "Young man," he said, "without fail, you always take the two quarters." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Young man, don't you realize that a dollar bill is more than two quarters?" A little boy looked at the man. He licked on his ice cream cone one more time. He said, "Sir, the day I take the dollar, the game is over." That kid wasn't as dumb as he thought he was. Because he liked ice cream cones, he took the two quarters. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all about choices. Because every choice leads to a consequence. I wonder, Union, if Adam and Eve would have made the same choice to eat of that forbidden fruit if they would have known the consequences. I wonder if Noah would have got drunk in front of his kids if he would have known the consequences. I wonder if David, man after God's own heart, the apple of God's eye, would have made the same choice with Bathsheba if he would have known how it would have destroyed his family. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all about, I wonder if Judas would have made the same choice. If Judas would have known after that decision, he'd be hanging himself on a tree. But not only those in the Bible, what about some folk that we know of? I wonder if the greatest entertainer that ever lived, Michael Jackson, would have made the same choice if he would have known the consequences. I wonder if another great entertainer right here in the state of Tennessee, Elvis Presley, would have made the same choice if Elvis Presley would have known the consequences. I wonder if Tiger Woods would have made the same choices. Some of y'all, these guys, but y'all on it, they on it, they got it. Tiger ain't been right since if he would have known the consequences. I wonder if Lil Wayne or T.I. or Kelly or Mr. I keep thinking I'm at home. Lindsay Lohan, the Kardashian sisters, Britney Spears, oops, I did it again. I wonder if they would have made the same choices. They would not. I wonder if Whitney Houston would have made the same charges if Whitney Houston would have known the consequences. But not only those in the Bible, not only those in entertainment. What about those of us in the chapel? Would you have made some of the same charges you've made if you would have known the consequences? Would you still went to the prom with the same person? Would you still have married that same person? Would you still have hung out with that crowd? Would you still have took your first hit on a marijuana cigarette, or you went to the casino, would you still have done some of the things you've done if you'd have known the consequences? If you knew your spouse would find out, if you knew your parents would find out, if you knew your professors would find out, if you knew your friends would find out, if you knew your church members would find out, would you have made the same choices? Because every choice leads to a consequence. A renewed mind, as I come to a close, should help you think about your Christ.
Renewed mind should help you think about your choices. And finally, renewed mind should help you think about the cross. The cross. As I come to a close, thank you, Dr. Dockery, for this wonderful opportunity. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the point of death, even the death of the cross. Ladies and friends, brothers and sisters, a renewed mind should help you think about your cross. I've been pastoring the Franklin Avenue Baptist Church in New Orleans, Louisiana for 25 years. The only church I've ever pastored. One of the greatest opportunities I have ever at Franklin. Every first Sunday we have the Lord's Supper. Every first Sunday. And our sanctuary seats about 2,000. And it's amazing just passing out those sacraments. And we take the sacrament and I take the bread that was passed to us. And I recite the passage of scripture when Jesus in the upper room I say, and he took the bread and lift up his father and he blessed it. And all 2,000 of those folk in that sanctuary, it's a beautiful sight. Lift up the bread and I say, this bread represents my body which shall be broken for you. Let us eat together in remembrance of him. Let us all, and we all eat together. Then I take the cup that represents his blood, lift up to heaven. So he asked God to bless it and he said, this wine represents my blood which shall be shed for you. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me and let us all drink together. And all 2,000 of us in both of those services, we all drink together. And there's an old rugged cross, old wooden cross, Travis, on the right side of our sanctuary. A Samaritan's Purse built it for us when right after Hurricane Katrina. And I wanted it from old wood. I didn't want to do it. And as I said, folk, what we just did reminds us of what Jesus did at the cross. What you just did, every time you partake of the Lord's Supper, every time you take a blood, it should remind you of what Jesus did at the cross. His suffering should help you think about the cross. His pain should help you think about the cross. His agony should help you think about the cross. The nails in his hands, the nails in his feet, the spear in his side, the crown on his head should help you think about the cross. Those last seven sayings that he cried from the cross, the first one being, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, should help you think about the cross. The second saying is, he looked at the thief on his right and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise, should help you think about the cross. The third cry, when he looked at his beloved mother Mary, his beloved son John, and said, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold that mother, should help you think about the cross. That fourth cry, when the S-U-N refused to shine, because the S-O-N was taking on the sins of the world, when Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, why? God, why hast thou forsaken me? Should help you think about the cross. That fifth cry, I thirst. That sixth cry, it is finished. That seventh cry from the cross, Father, Daddy, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then he died for you and for you and for you and for me. But guess what, y'all? That's not how the story ends. 3 days later, he rose again. All power in his hand. Dead, where is thy sting? Grave! Where is thy victory? And it was all possible because of the cross. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, our minds should be renewed so we can walk right, so we can talk right, so we can live right, so we can preach right, we can sing right, we can teach right, we can serve right. Brothers and sisters, I got to go to my seat, but I beg you. Young brothers, young sisters, freshmen, sophomores, juniors, seniors, grad students, I plead with you, I beseech you by the mercies of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Because a renewed mind should help you think about your Christ. A renewed mind should help you think about your choices. A renewed mind should help you think about your cross. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world goes free? No, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for you and you and you, and there's a cross for me. God bless y'all. I love y'all. Thank y'all for letting me be here.